Hello and welcome to the brand new American Reformation podcast. We long to see the wider American Christian church fall more in love with Jesus by learning from the practices of the early church and other eras of discipleship multiplication. We want to hear from you. Make sure you comment and leave a review wherever you're watching or listening to tell us what God is doing in your life or how you feel about today's conversation. Lord, have your way in us. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the American Reformation Podcast. Tim Allman here with a new friend in Christ that I was acquainted to, got introduced to about a year and a half ago, Tony Webb. Tony leads Vision USA Church Planning, a passion for church planning, church revitalization, using a tool called GSE. We're going to get into a Gather, Shepherd, Elder model. God has given Vision USA Church Planning over 12. This is awesome. Praise God here, Tony. 1,200 new church starts and existing congregations using GSE since 2007 with over 400. This is exponential growth right here with over 400 churches started since 2019. A little thing called COVID happened in between that time as well. So praise be to God for this model. Tony has 24 years of pastoral experience with established churches and 13 years as a missionary using GSE, both in the U.S. as well as internationally. And his vision is to pursue a church a day. I love that. Based on Acts 16, verse 5, in each of the 100 plus geographic regions that he's working in right now. Tony serves as the CEO and founder of Vision USA. Thanks so much, Tony, for hanging out with me today. This is going to be a lot of fun. Prime the pump for our chat today, though. How are you praying for Reformation? You got a wide view of not just the national, but international church, but just hone in on the church in the USA. How are you praying for Reformation in the USA church?
Well, Tim, it's a joy to be with you. Looking forward to our time. The biggest prayer effort we put in is our vision for church a day, going for the one a day. And I just checked 2 weeks ago, God's given us activity in 29 of the 50 states in America. So we're going after the rest of them. And in each place, we want to see a church a day in each region, which we're working. So that's how we're praying. That's what we're working towards. It's how we're building kingdom partnerships and having our missionaries go out and do the work that God's given us to do.
I love it. So before we get into the GSE model, so much to talk about there. Love to just hear your ministry story. I mean, not everybody has that sort of a passion, that sort of a calling. How did that kind of develop in you from, you know, and not, I'm not throwing any kind of local pastor, not being disparaging at all, but from just a local pastor saying, whoa, I could have something larger, kind of an apostolic calling to start churches, How did that develop, Tony?
Well, going back to my wife's name's Kathy. When Kathy and I were married, we were in seminary. And, you know, at that time, we talked about starting churches because the denomination we were connecting with, we had no relationships. We didn't know anybody, and learned pretty quick that it really takes knowing somebody to really find pastoral work, you know, quote unquote, or that's what we were running into. And so we had that desire from day one, but got into pastoring established churches, actually went into church planting initially out of seminary. And so God kept doing that. So we did the traditional approach the first 2 years out of seminary, and it was a brutal, brutal 2 years. It was tough. We went to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, third year of a third try, and I didn't know how bad of an idea that was. But God used it to really drive home the idea that, okay, we've got to start changing some stuff here in America. And then we went to a church then in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, and we were there for almost 19 years. And it's there that God really bloomed these ideas that are now GSE and really broke my heart over what the harvest looks like in Ohio specifically. That's where it began and then spread out into the rest of the country and other places.
Yeah. So go back to those first 2 years. What was so hard about being there in Gettysburg? A smaller church. Well, tell that story just a little bit.
Yeah, it was a very small church. It was just nothing was working. All the stuff I'd been taught, I thought, man, if you just preach it, they'll come. Well, I preached it, they didn't come. And just nothing worked. I was pounding my head against a wall and no movement was happening whatsoever, except I know now it's just what God was doing in me, how he's forming my wife and I. That's what he was up to show us this just isn't the ticket. It's got to be something else. And that really laid the foundation for all the stuff we're doing now.
Yeah, yeah. So then being at the church there in suburban Columbus, tell the story. I mean, did you start to plant churches that planted churches? Were they multi-site? Or were you launching new? Tell that story just a little bit.
Sure. We went to basically a replant. The church had been established for 12, 13 years. The pastor had left, been 3 years without a pastor. And then we found out after we came that if we didn't work out, they were going to close the church. And so we went and started in rented facilities, and there, God blessed, we grew, bought land, you know, did that kind of building stuff. But in the midst of that, in 1997, we daughtered our first church, and we daughtered a total of five. And I thought that would kind of keep my mind, my heart for planting it, you know, in the pastoral world. But it got to the point where it just wasn't enough. It was a lot of hard work. We did the first three in a traditional way. So very resource demanding of people and money and time, and just realize there's just no few. We won't reach this country this way. It's just too demanding. It just takes too much and just isn't going to work. And that's really, then we started doing the GSE stuff in 07. That was, we'd been there at the church since 91. And so God used that time to take us into the GSE stuff.
That's awesome. I'm a pastor in a multi-site congregation right now. What words of wisdom do you have for those of us that are kind of, I've talked to different guys that have thoughts around the viability and the multiplication possibility of multi-site. And, you know, we launched one that required a lot of time, resources, and people. And I don't think, and it's going good, but I don't think that's going to be the norm for us. That's why we're exploring GSE, the GSE process. And, what is your, there's a difference between multi-site and multi-congregational. And I think this is where we're going to be trending here in the coming years, more of the network approach, and, you know, congregations of various sizes can choose within a kind of a central group of staff and support services, but they can, it's still very autonomous. You can use the brand or not, whatever helps. And that's, we're trying to frame ourselves up right now, Tony, as a family of ministries. So you're within the families, but you've got that individuality. There's the last thing I would want to do is create something that is bureaucratic, that does not allow for rapid multiplication. That's what I'm fighting against. But I'll say this. I do have the systems and structure people in my world. This is like counseling right now, Tony. I'm getting counseling from you. I don't know. It's free, right? Okay. Amen. I do have the systems and structure guys in my world that say, hey, 20 campuses, 20 years, Christ Greenfield, let's go. And I'm like, well, we'll see. I'm kind of really having an open hand, open heart to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You can hear the tension. So counsel me, Tony. What would you tell a pastor like myself in a rapidly growing community? Here's the reality. We need more churches in East Phoenix. Yes. So what would you tell me in terms of approach?
Well, I would encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, but I love your family idea. I love your comment about allowing any expression to take root, and regardless of size, and let it connect to resources however it needs to, because the key to multiplication is simplicity and having that vision to continue to just press further into multiple generations of what happens so that everything you start is pregnant. So it reproduces within the first year every time you start something, or even sooner. But to have that simplicity show so that, basically, to walk away from the 1-3% of people who can plant a church, that's a professional church plant. And we need those, you know, those are good. We need those leaders. We need those churches. But if we're going to reach America, we need the church family planting, and we need to be able to create systems that allow for the couple that lives on that street to start a church in their neighborhood.
It's so exciting. And these smaller representations, are just invigorating to the leader. We have a church in Alpine, Arizona, small little community, mostly summer folks there because it's really cold. But we got a member that spends about four or five months there, and he started Cowboy Church this last summer.
Perfect.
And isn't that great?
Perfect.
And he's like, he's the gatherer, and yep. Then he's having shepherds. He's trying to identify a local shepherd, but some shepherds from Christ Greenfield are going to support him. But it's Alpine Cowboy Church. It's fantastic.
Awesome. That's beautiful. Yeah, so that is beautiful.
That can help. And tell the origin story of the gather shepherd elder. I like how you say process. It's not a model. It's a process. Talk just get nuts and bolts about GSE, if you would, Tony.
Sure. So we call it a process, not a model, because if it were a model, it'd produce the same thing in the field all the time. But we've seen a spectrum of churches started all the way from, you know, house church, micro church, attractional Sunday morning, traditional Sunday morning. We've seen all those expressions happen. So that's why we lean towards process. And we do know that GSE is a starting mechanism. So that's the power and the simplicity of it. And the basic idea is you find a gatherer who is a people magnet. It's an apostolically wired man, woman, kid who just attracts people. They can't help it. It's just how God made them. And you pair a gather with a shepherd, and usually less than 2 weeks, church can start. And it's a beautiful thing. And the gathering process, here's the information dump. You know, 20 Greek words in New Testament describe the idea of gathering to a mission or causing to come together. And 183 occurrences. So it's the point is, it's a very common idea in New Testament, part of the culture. And we've learned that a gatherer is a birthright gift. It's part of being made in the image of God. And so unsaved people are gatherers. Every drug dealer you know is an amazing gatherer. And when Jesus comes in, it changes radically and beautifully. And so we have gatherers all over the place. They're not evangelists. They're not people of peace. Those are different gifts that God's given us in the harvest. And so having to recognize the gatherer and being yet one more tool we have for harvest work is just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Let's pause on the gatherer there. What are some of those Greek words? Let's geek out just a bit, Tony. Tell me a story or two where a gatherer pops off of the page of Scripture.
Sure. So Jesus in John 1, the last two stories, Jesus gathers where he talks, you know, Andrew and John are standing over John the Baptist, and Jesus walks by and John the Baptist says, "There's the Lamb of God." Boom. Those two guys go follow Jesus and they spend the day together. And then Andrew goes and gathers his brother, Peter, brings him to Jesus. That's simple gathering. Next paragraph is with Philip. Jesus gathers Philip. He gets Nathaniel. Can any good come out of Nazareth? You know, so boom, those happen there. Probably my favorite gathering story in the Gospels is Mark 1, the leper who gets healed, is told to tell no one, but go make sacrifice. But he goes to town, tells everybody Jesus can't go to town anymore. That's one of our gathering words. Probably of the 20, Sunago is the most common. 60 some occurrences are Sunago, to gather together. And so that's the dominant word that's used of the whole of all the gathering, you know, geek out words that are a lot of fun to go through.
I mean, you can look at, I love looking at the Gospels through the lens of gathering. The woman at the well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I mean, she's one of the first evangelists, right?
Yes.
Carrying out the message to her town. Come and see this man who told me everything. Everything he told you? Yeah, you gotta come see him. And then obviously the women who find the tomb empty are the first, come and see.
Yes.
Come and see. He's not here. And
he's gone.
Peter and John, they go running, right?
Yeah.
So it's absolutely everywhere. One of the struggles that we're walking through right now, I think, moving from a Christian America to a postmodern, you know, pre-Christian secular kind of culture is wrapping our heads around the rapid multiplication in the book of Acts. And there's been a move as postmodern. And let's get 30,000 feet here a little, Tony. There was a move around 1998, I believe, when the book, and you'll know the author, I think, Missional Church came out, and it started this kind of, in the early 2000s, I was reading a book recently on the history of the word missional and the mission church. There was a lot of organizations, a lot of groups started talking about the Missio Dei as they saw secularism beginning to rise. But this is a far shift, I think, for those who have been connected to the institution of the local church, those who have been connected to the way we train pastors and leaders, right? This is mega, mega shift. And I it's kind of knee-jerk for a lot of us to say how far things have gone. And so how we need to look at the story, the message, the process of Jesus in the early church. No, I mean, we just do it this way. We preach and people gather. No. How will they hear unless people are sent to proclaim the word, right? Any 30,000 feet kind of historical understanding of why we're at the stage of the church, especially here in America and the West, where we need a model, a process such as GSE?
Yeah, the look through how we got here. Early 1900s, we tend to have adopted this more CEO, one main pastor, end up being the pastor does all the work, kind of hired a chaplain concept. And what I tell people now when we partner and we go through coaching and training is that regardless of the size of your church, whether it's 10 people or 2,000 people, was all created under the same system. And that same system puts the pressure on you as a key leader, whether you're 10 people or 2,000 people. And the system runs on numbers and money. And so we've got to recognize that, because numbers mean people. That's important. Money is important because it's a key to discipleship, as Jesus gets into our wallets and we're able to show how we love Jesus by what we do with our money and our time, our other resources. So they're important ideas, but we've got to create systems that move away from those as the driving forces behind the systemic creation of church into a more people-based and going, sending idea of what we're about, is what I'd recommend.
Well, absolutely. And this is where some are listening are Lutheran. This is where the Lutheran doctrine of vocation pops up.
You know,
wherever you're at, in your home, out in the community, in the marketplace, as a neighbor, like, you bring the light of Christ. You are gathering people by word and spirit to the light of Christ. So, yeah, praise God, brother. So talk about the partnership, though, between the gatherer and then the shepherd, and how this is such a, like, two sides of the same coin. This thing doesn't work unless you have the gatherer and the shepherd.
Yes, I love your one coin, two side. That's a great picture of this, because we all watch church plants happen, and we've seen, you know, for example, a couple go plant somewhere, they gather people, they'll do great, and they'll get people into a room, and then all of a sudden you got to shepherd them, and guess what stops happening? Well, the gathering stops, because we've just had one person doing this. So having both. And the key to it is the person we don't always talk about right away, which is the regional missionary or the pastoral oversight of what's going on. There is someone watching this. Someone's working with us to say, this gatherer, this shepherd needs to work together. And that's, in our vernacular, is the regional leader. And so you're a regional leader. You're building, you know, your system as the Spirit leads you, and you're able to say, hey, here's a gatherer, here's a shepherd. Let's pull them together to make this happen. And so someone needs to work that. Someone's got to massage that. Someone's got to make sure these two work well together and get what's going on and have caught the vision. And, you know, the gatherer brings people. The shepherd takes care of the people once they're there. And boom, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. No, it really is. So elder, define elder really quick. Is that the regional leader, someone that's providing that kind of higher level oversight? How have you seen the elder role kind of evolve?
Yeah, we want everything under elder oversight. So often the regional leader is at least like a Book of Acts, Paul providing regional geographic oversight from an elder perspective over everything that's starting. because, what is it, Acts 14, Paul went back to appoint elders, but there were, you know, there was elder oversight by his life and control. But we do want elders to come into and be raised up within each congregation, either raised up within or brought in, so that we have that elder oversight that brings trust into the relationship of everything and longevity. That's a couple things that we ask elders to do as they come in and be a part of what's happening.
I love it. I love it. So the inverted pyramid of the leadership structure, it appears to be the way of Jesus. But a lot of times in our church bodies, whether you're Catholic and Lutheran, we're in our denomination, we're kind of wrestling with, what sort of church are we? Are we a congregational church that has regional and national oversight and support? Or are we an Episcopal church with top-down resolutions, national kind of restrictions? And right now, we're leaning toward that. And that's unfortunate, because it hampers missional visioning, right? And we can get into what we're trying to do in our district to provide more freedom, more of a release. But the leadership, the elder leadership style of Jesus, then followed by the Apostle Paul, was much more of a release, equip, inspire, yes, empower, react as stuff is happening in the community that's counter to the mission of Jesus. There's character issues that I need to speak into. But he's responding to what is already happening, leaders already being raised up. His pastoral epistles, right? I mean, 2 Timothy 2:2, find other men who can teach and then encourage them to do the same. I don't think we've looked at that enough of the bottom-up approach. And Jesus really, really hits this hard. I was reading through, I think it's Matthew 23 into 24, Jesus's hard words to the Pharisees. Yeah. And, you know, their phylacteries are long. They take the positions of honor and, you know, they have this kind of arrogance about them that is unbecoming to one who's a part of this new kingdom that I've come to inaugurate. And he then says, let no one call you rabbi, for you have one rabbi, one father who's your teacher, you know, let no one call you master and Lord. Like, Jesus is lowering them big time. And when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, this thing just blew up in a good way, in a Holy Spirit inspired way. And it appears as if, like, the structure, they were reacting to what the Spirit was doing to provide the appropriate structure, rather than saying, we've got to have all the structure kind of nailed down before we get after it. This is a very, very different model than we have in many of our highly structured denominations. Any thoughts there, Tony?
Yeah, you're right. This is a whole different approach. This is pretty messy. This is pretty chaotic. It's very much, I don't really necessarily know what's going on until after it's happened. I don't know what's going on into it. And the whole issue of chaos and being comfortable with that type of messiness is a key part of understanding what multiplication looks like, because there's no multiplication anywhere that's nice and pretty and cut and within the you know, black lines of the box. There's no multiplication that lies there.
Let me play devil's advocate a little bit. What would you say to someone who says, but isn't God a God of order and structure? So is this unwise? Are you being kind of flippant with the message of Christ? What would you say to that person, Tony?
I would say God definitely is a God of order, but he's also a God of chaos and multiplication. And the process you'll see in the book of Acts and elsewhere is you'll see this massive explosion, chaos, then you'll see order come. And that's God's process. And so we have a lot of order in the church in America. We don't have any of the chaotic mess. We don't have any of the multiplication. And so we're well ready for when it happens. We just aren't doing anything to make it happen. The multiplication, the chaotic expression.
Yeah. Well, you lose control. And leaders generally want a sense of control.
The C word.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's so invigorating to say, I don't know. It's free Amen. To say, I don't know exactly what the Lord is up to. Like, I don't have the capacity to know all the stories of the Lord's work. But when I hear about the stories of multiplication happening and people dreaming new dreams to reach people with the gospel, I want to be one in this role Amen. As an elder. I want to tell that story. I want to tell the story of the Alpine Church, et cetera, right? I mean, that's it. But apart from story, it's like shrugging my shoulders. Okay, yeah, the Lord, you're up to beautiful things. And I get to be a very, very, very small part of it.
Amen.
I'd love to get your take on this, because I think we should pray for more humility in the church, especially among leaders.
Amen.
From the great theologian Mike Tyson. This is the new quote from Mike Tyson here recently that I've dropped a few times. Is when I think I'm a big deal, I'm very easily offended. I'm very easily offended.
Wow.
And I don't know if Mike is a Christian, but he goes, when I realize I'm nothing, I'm not a big deal, nothing offends me. Nothing offends me. So the humility of Christ leads us to this Amen. Kind of open-handed, I'm not offended. You can try new things. You can, you know, and I'm praying for that structure. But a lot of times new things, new wine and new wineskin. And I think a lot of times our denominations with, you know, centuries old systems and structure, a new thing institutionally can live alongside an older thing as long as they don't eat one another, kill one another, you know, two things can take place at the same time. Yes. You can have in declining denominations, you can have a church planting movements that say, I respect what's taken place and the structures, the institutions that have been created. And at the same time, we're simply, for the sake of our respective region, especially in reaching cross-culturally, I think we need new wine to go in new wineskin. Any Amen. Words about kind of the live and let live approach to many of denominations who are in decline right now, Tony?
Yeah, I know practically, in our kingdom partnership work, where one of our highest values at Vision USA is to build kingdom partnerships, which is partner with other denoms and networks and bring GSE into their church planting world. Going into COVID and coming out of COVID, GSE has made more sense to denominational leaders than it's ever have. And I've been doing this for about 20 years, this GSE stuff. So it's very exciting to see that many denominational leaders and leadership, not only in church planning, but, you know, the main executives sitting, you know, at their desk, are seeing that the need for simplicity and the movement of the gospel into places where the gospel does not exist is what we have to do. And I'm meeting some leaders who are, I mean, they're taking a risk. They're positioning themselves and their denominational, you know, resources of people and whatnot to take that risk of how do we go where we're not and how do we get the gospel where we're not. And it's very exciting. It's just very, I wasn't sure I'd see this day, but God's starting to build this day. It's a wonderful day.
It is a wonderful day. So tell your story of interacting with the Pacific Southwest District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Dom Rivkin, our mission exec, as well as our president, our regional district president there, Mike Gibson. What's that experience been like working with our district, Tony?
Oh, it's been remarkably wonderful. I've known Dom for probably 10 years. 10 or 11. I think it's 11 now. And so we would check in a couple times a year with each other and just see what's going on. And I've always loved what Dom's done. He's loved GSC. And then with everything that happened and meeting President Gibson, I remember the first Zoom call, you know, we just sat there for an hour and just talked, you know, just got to know each other. Didn't even talk strategy or anything, just an hour of, hey, what do I need to know about you? Here's what you need to know about me. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I mean, just so just a fabulous, fabulous onboarding. I love working together. President Gibson made the comment to me. He said, Tony, you've made this really easy for us. We are people of the book, and GSC is from the book. It's from the Bible. So we don't have any issues there. And so I've walked into meeting many of you and, you know, yep, spot on. Y'all are people of the book. It's just, I love it.
Mm. Are you seeing, because your background, what Baptist, were you in the Baptist tradition growing up, Tony? You don't even know denominationally.
I come out of an Anabaptist background, out of a Brethren world.
Sure, sure. So are you seeing more openness to those? Because we're a very liturgical, you know, we could talk the sacraments and probably disagree a little bit there, and that we don't need to go there. But are you seeing more just kind of missional partnerships growing interecumenically between different church bodies right now? Encourage us, I hope.
I'm seeing an openness to it. One of the things that we hope to do in Vision USA this year is to bring together the various leaders of the kingdom partners we have, just to get on a call like this, just to meet each other, just to see how diverse we really are in how we do this thing called church, but how united we are on this thing called the harvest and the gospel and the different ways God's gifted us to take the gospel into places in America. So that's one of our high values this year, is to at least get one of those on the book and have the, you know, six or eight kingdom partners we have just be able to look each other on a camera and say, wow, this is fun. Praise I want to know you better.
Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm praying for more of that. Unity is a winsome witness in this dark and dying world. I'm praying for the Amen. One Holy Christian Apostolic Church to be a shining light, united, centered in the person and work of Jesus. Praise God. So what Amen. Are your favorite, just a couple stories coming down the home stretch here. What are your favorite stories of the GSE model just booming? And I'm not even talking numbers necessarily, but just bringing light, the light of the gospel in a very maybe non-traditional manner, Tony.
Sure. So the whole church today vision, one of the first applications I'm praying for each year, and God's not given it to us yet, so I'm praying it for this year, is that God would give us a church a day in our network, which means 365 new churches in this calendar year, 2024. We've had like, last year was 130, I think. The most we've had has been like 150. And so we like the trajectory, but we're praying to see that. And Lord willing, this is the year. And so some of the stories that excite me, missiologists tell me that multiplication lies in the fourth to sixth generation of a church plant. So a church, and then at daughters, when you get to five or six, because each of the others are daughtering as well, that's where we can start seeing true multiplication. And I know of places where we've got fourth generation, you know, daughter churches. But over Christmas, a friend of mine, John Baker, we call him Baker because we have a lot of Johns on some of our key teams. So Baker texted me over the Christmas holidays and said, hey, we've got a fifth generation. So we've got our first fifth generation daughter.
Praise God.
And it happens to be in Mexico because Baker works North Mexico for us. But I'm thrilled that in the network, we've got our first fifth generation example of GSE process churches happening. We've got many stories of gathering 200 people. I mean, it's just mind blowing. I think there are five of those stories that I'm aware of in our network of just one gather bringing 200 people to something.
What are they? Get specific. What are they gathering toward? Like, how does someone even do that? That sounds wild in our culture today. What does that look like?
Yeah, it's so two of the stories are in Florida. Jason's a pastor in Melbourne, which is the East Coast. And Jason said that they were going to do a bonfire on the beach, you know, so they got a permit, dug a hole, you know, to build this little bonfire. 20 people from the church came because it was meant to be an outreach event. And this one lady, she brought 200 people from her neighborhood with her.
Come on.
Blew everybody's mind. Then they turned around. This was in the spring. And that same year, they did something, a Christmas party at her house. Again, 200 people showed up, and the same 20 people were stuck in the corner of the house. And it's just, these people are amazing. But whether you gather one person or you gather 200 people, it's awesome. It's for the gospel. It's happened twice in Cuba that I know of, up in the mountains in the east. And then there's another example of someone bringing about 200 people. And that's, they're alive and well. The point of that story is they're alive and well. They're all around us. We just have to see them empower them, visionize them, and bring them on board and let them gather like that for Jesus.
So just to get a little bit more, folks are probably curious, was there someone that stands up and gives a gospel proclamation at the bonfire, at the Christmas gathering, or is it all just kind of natural relationship building in the hopes of maybe gathering for the elder or the shepherd, I should say, the shepherd to do their teaching, preaching thing sometime in the future? What does that kind of look like as more of a, because for us being a sacramental church, like, That's one thing to have a party. It's another thing to gather around word and sacrament, right? So yeah, what does that bridge look like?
Yeah, these all had purposive intent of opening the word in their presence. And so that was part of it. It was, of course, short because it's hard to project your voice around that many people. But in Jason's example, many of those people are now part of the various churches that have started in that's called Century Grace and the Century Grace Network. And so one of the beautiful multiplicative ideas that we've seen is this gathering culture formed, which when someone is gathered into a congregation and they meet someone else who's been gathered in the congregation, they quickly find out, oh, that's what this congregation does. They gather. So I guess I better go gather. And it's this beautiful, because Jason can have 8 to 12 generation of gathers, someone who's gathered by different people. And it's all they know. And so this culture gets formed. And it's powerful. And that, too, is another multiplicative idea of how do we get there so that when new people come in, they meet other people who, as they tell their stories, realize, hey, they were gathered just like me. So I guess I'll go do the same thing. That's what happens here.
It seems so ridiculously simple.
Like, amen.
Just find somebody that has the desire. I went to a Christmas party. And I just popped right now, was hanging out with a cereal gatherer, a member at our church. Wow. She invited me. She says, I've invited you the last 3 years, Pastor. Why didn't you come? I was like, I got teenage kids. I couldn't do it. But this year I was like, she's persistent, And yes. So I was like, I'm going to swing over. And here I was expecting maybe some family members and maybe a handful of close friends and neighbors. No. Every person in her neighborhood, not even joking, on her cul-de-sac and then across, she lives on a little lake, across her, they all had come. And she's lived there for 2 years. She's lived there for 2 years and they all know one another and are hanging out at Christmas. Like, this is unbelievable. I got to round back with her, Tony, and say, let's bring next Christmas. Let me share somebody. It doesn't have to be me. Just a little bit of the Christmas story. They could be at all different places, but it's so cool. They're all around us, Tony, isn't that
exactly
beautiful?
Yeah, exactly. They're right there and they gather for their work. I mean, the business world's got this gathering for, they pay gather as well. They gather for their hobbies. They gather all over. There's that gathering for Jesus. And that's what we've really got to fix. We've got to blow the lid off that.
Yeah. Yeah. Gather for Jesus. Amen. Yes. Hey, man, this has been so inspiring, so encouraging. Thank you for blessing the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our district. We're better because of it. And you've got a congregation here in the East Valley of Phoenix. That's going to blow the lid off. The Holy Spirit's is in the process of blowing the lid off on the GSE process, brother. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us. If people want to connect to Vision USA and get connected with you specifically, how can they do so?
Our website is visionusa.org. My email is twebb@visionusa.org. I'd be glad to talk with anyone further, of course, because we just want to keep seeing people hear about Jesus.
Amen. Church a day, baby. Church a day in 2024. Amen, brother. Vision. What a vision that is. This is the American Reformation Podcast. Sharing is caring. Like, subscribe, comment wherever it is you take this in. And we promise to have conversations with leaders like Tony, humble leaders like Tony, going on a mission in this secular post-Christian society. There are pre-Christians who are on their way to Jesus. Do we have the eyes to see them? They are all around. And those gatherers are all around as well. It's a good day. Go and make it a great day. Thank you so much, Tony. You're awesome.
Thank you, brother.
The Unite Leadership Collective is excited to announce the launch of our new online learning platform. Whether you're considering entering into ministry or already leading, we have the resources that you need to become an empowered leader in your ministry. Our learning platform will release new courses every quarter, with our first available course, Becoming an Engaged Leader, available now. But by joining our monthly membership, you'll unlock unlimited access to all of our courses and gain entry into our exclusive coaching community space, where ministry leaders can connect with each other. This community also grants you access to bi-weekly coaching calls led by the ULC team, private Zoom calls, and additional team discounts. To celebrate the launch, we're offering introductory rates for all of our courses and the monthly subscription plan. Just enroll prior to January 1st using the code 75ULC2023 to get 75% off at checkout. Visit theuniteleadership.org to learn more about our online learning platform and start your journey to lead effectively in any church settings today.